This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Welcome back to the show. We are in the last stretch of the Power Zone right here on Power 98.7. I told you guys that we closed the show off on a discussion centered around the property market space. We are learning this morning about the space as an innovation, an innovative job creation hub or space. And Mulifi Titus Mwate is the founder and director of Live Elizabeth Properties. And here I will also throw forward to the MPC's decision on the interest rate. So the South African Reserve Bank Monetary Policy Committee are just meeting earlier on in the week and will announce the decision on interest rates later on today. So if you're planning to purchase a property in South Africa, please pay particular attention to what we're discussing this morning, as some consumers don't quite understand how far-reaching the effects of an interest rate rise or fall can be on them, right? Also, we are on 0861-987-000. So my guest is open. I would like to believe for him to school us. So if you have any questions for him, you're welcome to do so on that line. Mulifi, welcome to the Power Zone.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for having me. My name is Mulifi, and it's Life Elizabeth Property. So the Life and the Elizabeth, they share the E. It's one word.
Life Elizabeth Mulifi, Titus Mwate.
Yes.
Look at me. You know, I'm studying every day.
Come on. We never stop learning. Every day we learn.
Most definitely. And I'm excited about learning where this space is concerned, the property space, because it's not often that, we speak about the space. How big is the market for the property space here in South Africa? And do we really see people starting their companies so they can thrive and, break that whole stereotype of this being a white-centered kind of industry compared to their counterparts, the black counterparts, where the past is concerned? Because then back in the years, this space was not that accessible to the black folks.
Thanks again for having me. Currently the market is quite open. It's not like back in the years. So basically, obviously, back then it was difficult maybe for the black market to access loanable funds. But due to, our policies changing, our law changing in the country, it has at least relaxed its, the laws regulating access to loanable funds. So we do have a lot of black people buying property in South Africa, and slowly the market is getting saturated. Obviously, historically, we couldn't afford, so we're still trying to penetrate and cover. But I guess it's still a fair pie at the moment. If you have a good credit score, if you have cash in your account, or you can get source money, or wherever that you can get it, you can actually, access, the property, buying of property in South Africa, not only as a South African, but even international. International people come and invest in the country, from development, from buying of residential, where it's commercial. They actually, the market is open.
Oh, that's nice. Do we see then people going into this space also to, let's say, build student accommodations? I mean, we're starting at the year. Just in the last hour, we're discussing student issues. And one of the things that came up was the importance of accommodation in this space. So do we see really people now as diverse as possible in trying to be as accommodative as possible, even where the students are concerned?
Look, I won't lie, COVID has done a lot of impact because there was a lot of uncertainty. So remember during COVID, students were like taking classes from home, a lot of things were remote. So it brings a lot of uncertainty. So most of the project got stopped a bit because they were not sure whether the demand will come back again, or if it will not, or is this the new normal whereby students will be, attending classes online, doing most of their work online remotely. But I think we are slowly getting back to our normal routine. So we are seeing a lot of now investors and a lot of development, and people are hitting ground now. Construction is hitting ground. The demand is coming back right now, and I think it's motivating enough for investors to look into that student accommodation. And, you know, obviously due to, you know, not having capacity, university not having enough capacity to absorb, you know, according to the pass rate of matric, they still got a backlog, meaning as long as the university has a backlog, even in the development space, they still have a backlog. So when the universities are expanding their classes, construction of expanding universities should be aligned with, you know, you know, the building of accommodation, because now once the students are in the varsity, they get frustrated if they, they don't know where they're going to sleep. So it's still a good space to invest in. It's fairly, the pie is too big. And remember, we're talking different provinces in the country. So as much as people will focus in the big metros, trust me, even in the smaller towns, there's still colleges, there's still varsity campuses whereby, you know, the demand is there.
And Malefe, the industry, the economy has not been doing well for quite some time now. And that can really be demotivating for people in terms of making those moves to even buy a house or approach the bank for them to help you finance a house and or accommodation. Have we over the years of late seen the dynamics change from those people that would opt to rather rent than buy? How are things working out, especially in these tough economic times?
Look, we've seen a very, obviously, a trend of a very tough economy in terms of like your interest rates and also the inflation coming in. So those two, you know, agents, they play a big role in terms of, you know, affordability, especially in the economical affordability when coming to property. So what I can tell you is most, look, the economy itself is putting pressure on the buyers. It's really putting pressure on the rentals. So what happens is the minute the cost of affordability is high, you'll find most people being forced to go into rentals rather than buying. Because remember, we're not only facing the bond when you buy, you're also facing the levies, you're also facing the rates. So when you combine, you know, the cost of repaying the bond, you know, with all other, like your rates and your bonds, comes high. So you find that the person rather rent, rather than spending, for example, let me make it in layman's terms, you find that maybe you're financing a property, two-bedroom, maybe in four ways, with an average rental rate of about 7.5. But when you're buying it, you can pay, let's say, 10% of it. Looking at about 7.5, you still have to pay the levies, probably say 1,000 rent or 1,005, still your rate as well, another 500. But if you are renting it, you can, you know, rent it for like 7.5. So people are saving when coming to that extra 2 point something. That's where they see that they can save that money. They rather rent rather than, you know, financing the pot. But obviously there's a different eye on it as well, because now when, as much as you are paying extra, but your money is growing, obviously, because you've put the money on the property. But yeah, tough economies push people to go into rental. And tough economies, remember, besides affordability of the bond, there's other things that they do in their life that they also need to finance. So sometimes people will liquidate their illiquid assets, which is the property, so they can afford other things, maybe capital investment into operations of their business or whatever, because tough economies push businesses also cash flow to suffer a bit, and people need cash flow to finance themselves to keep going. So different situations can push people to, you know, liquidate their assets. I mean, liquidate their assets and move towards the rental.
Do we see people then opting and the dynamics changing from maybe opting to buy in urban areas? Now you would rather go to rural areas because it's easier. The hustle and bustle is not the same. And in terms of also the what we see with this load shedding and the economy that is not doing well, do we see people and the dynamics changing over time?
Look, I wouldn't say over time, it has already started. You know, there's a serious, you know, people are very intentional about going to, you know, in their rurals, because one, the buying of the land is a bit cheaper. So a person can spend averagely, let's say, in your big metros, maybe for land, you can buy land for 1 million or for 500,000. with half a million, when you go to your rural, I mean, and you get a stand for like 20,000, 30,000, or 100,000, mm-hmm. you already got 400,000 towards your brick and mortar, buying of material and building the property. Mm-hmm. So basically, it's cheaper to build for where we come from. And we've seen that trend, especially in provinces like Limpopo. They're very intentional about it. They go back home, they build because it's cheaper. Mm-hmm. So I think it's something that's going to grow, and people are realizing that, you know, going home and building is a bit cheaper. Although, obviously, there's different factors. Different factors like services supply, for example. Some people would prefer being in town for quicker access to hospitals, you know, your internals, like your shopping complexes, you know, any convenience that can find in town, closer to the schools, good schools, and so on. So it depends actually on a person that, you know, where do you see value in terms of buying or building your own residential home. But yeah, the trend is that people are building at home. It's cheap, obviously.
Yeah, no, and also when you look at the fact that we find ourselves here with an economy that has been sluggish over time, do we then see people really aware of what is happening around them and cutting down instead of, you know, opting to buy a bigger space, you would opt to buy a smaller space? Those tweaks, do we see them playing out where the space is concerned?
No, definitely. Definitely. That's a reality. Because I remember, for example, a higher interest rate, it cuts off a certain class of affordability. They can't afford anymore. And those that can afford, it becomes difficult for them to actually, because at the end of the day, the interest rate determines the cost of financing your bond. So people end up eventually, rather than qualifying for a high amount, they rather take a lower amount so it can be within their affordability. So once the people lower the amount of loan they need, it forces them to go for a smaller space, unlike a bigger comfortable space that they needed initially. So options are really, I mean, interest rate really affects the options of the buyers in terms of the amount of money they can get in terms of lending. So the lower the interest rate, people have a lot of options, you know, and it also opens the market for a certain segment, especially more or less middle class going downward, so that, you know, people can be able to access loanable funds and buy real estate in the country.
You know, often we'd hear people saying that this space is still hard for one to crack when you're black. Approaching the bank, there are still those discriminatory, you know, legislation and the likes, where it's harder for a black person to crack the space and get that loan and get, you know, that finances that you rightfully had sought compared to your white counterpart. And even with the interest rate and other rates and the likes linked to this space, you find that blacks are still paying exorbitantly more compared to the white counterparts. Is that still a reality as we speak right now, or are we, you know, covering ground and learning and transforming the space as the year goes?
Look, at the end of the day, you know, the banks in the country or the sectors or companies that supplies the bond, they have their own metrics. They have their own metrics. Remember that it is a metric that is used at the bank, whereby even when you fill up the form, the questions that they ask you, that data is the one that determines what kind of interest rate you'll get. So, for example, if there's a set of you know, questions that you answer for a certain bank to put the metrics in terms of what you can qualify for, in terms of are you black, are you white, religion, you know, race, how old are you, you know, are you a graduate or not a graduate. So the metrics that they form in each banking sector somehow historically has favored white people because of the data, you understand. So I wish we could you could take it as a topic again on your you can bring someone who's a specialist from the banking system just to explain to you how the actual metric is formed. But as far as my understanding, that metric is the one that subject black people not having access, you know, into the market. Their metrics needs to be changed. You know, the law needs to force those metrics to be changed in terms of the data they need, in terms of, therefore, just saying black or white, and they put that thing on the system, that information on the system. When the system calculates automatically, it gives you a certain score. Graduate or not graduate, when it calculates, it gives you a certain score. So So obviously, we've seen in the past having a lot of black people not being graduates. Obviously, to subject them to the act one side, number one. We used to have entry level, you know, knowledge or training or education, you know. But now because of we are growing in that side of, you know, equipping ourselves, being professionals, having specialized skills, earning enough money, earning from middle class and above, having a lot of black managers, having a lot of black CEOs, we are slowly getting there, but there are certain matrices that is beyond our control unless the law itself or the governance of the country can force to change.
Yeah, most definitely. We have the Reserve Bank governor later on, Lesetša Kganyago. He'll be making the announcement around the interest rate. What would be your expectations then as those in the property space? And really just school us here in terms of how do these rates work and affect me and you when they are passed and they're ventilated like this, either it being up or it being down. Really, we're hearing that it affects you either way as someone who's in this property space. What would be your expectations for later on? And really, how does this affect me and you where this property space are concerned?
Look, obviously, from my side, I think obviously there will be a hike because we're coming from the era of COVID where we had a lower interest rate and most people capitalized on it. You know, they acquired properties because the rate of accessing loanable funds was very low. So I think right now, in order to cover the damages, and the struggling economy, I'm expecting a high rise in terms of interest rate. And there are two sides of the coin, right? Mm-hmm. When you have a higher interest rate, it has an impact, you know, mm-hmm. from the development and construction, one, and two, from the buyers as well. And three, at the end of the day, it affects even the renters as well. People are going to rent. And in this case, when the interest rate goes high, what it happens is it shifts the equilibrium. So a higher interest rate, it makes the demand low of property because now people can access loanable funds. Now, making the demand low, it affects construction because now they can't supply what they cannot when the demand is low, you understand? Mm. So obviously, the construction rate, they need to lower it. So if you're having a duration, let's say, of a year or 2 years, where we're getting a higher and higher interest rate, it's going to affect the construction rate. And in adverse of it, a lower interest rate will shift the equilibrium to a high demand of real estate in the country. So do construction demand will go high. And when coming to the landlord and the tenant level, I mean, if an investor is going to buy a property with a high interest rate, it's likely to have a high rental rate on the property because they need to meet their monthly obligations of financing the bond, covering the rates and the levies. So sometimes most people won't be able to afford the rent, you understand, which forces most of investors to take their time to buy because if they buy at that rate, you know, it's going to affect their investment or their yield, so to say, because now, you know, affordability will be low. And also a high interest rate, you know, it will also affect the landlords as well, because at some point, when we talk about the economy at large, a high interest rate has a ripple effect on other sectors. For example, like I said, if you're having a lower construction rate of real estate, it means, you know, the whole employment in that sector gets affected. So if you have people affected in their disposable income, you find people not being able to afford actually to rent properties. Mm-hmm. Now it forces the landlord to lower their rental rates, which at some point they have to finance their monthly obligation out of their pocket so that they can top up. Mm-hmm. And remember, when you're a landlord, you're having a property that you're staying 3 months without a tenant, it becomes a kind of a heavy on your burden. So it forces you to at least scrap the bottom of the barrel, find the lowest rental rate just to at least subsidize you in meeting your monthly obligations, you understand? So it's just an equilibrium. It's a different. So a higher interest rate has a ripple effect of that. But to some people, surprisingly, it's Christmas for them. Because I remember a higher interest rate, it means that few people can enter the market. So people who can afford, they have options. So they can choose actually what they like, what they love. They have time, they have money and the power to actually choose because there's less demand. So sometimes they can even dictate the price because a property will be listed on the market for example, if you're having middle class and downwards cut off in terms of their access into loanable funds, it means the properties of the target market will be a lot, in the market. Now, when you have a property listed for 3 months or 6 months, even the seller gets frustrated sometimes. So when somebody comes with cash, can actually detain it and say, look, I can give you this thing with 10% less, so what's your market, or 20% less. Because that person is frustrated, there's no demand. Sometimes they are forced to sell at that price. And that's what actually happened during COVID as well. People with cash used advantage of that.
Yeah, no, let's wait with bated breath to see what happens this afternoon. But you've schooled us a bit. I feel like the time was so short, man. I feel like there's still more
I can get out of you. We can always do this thing again.
Please.
And you know what? It's sad that that's why I've got a property talk show. We're trying to look at problems of the reality in terms of real estate. What is real estate? You know, how do you enter the market? How can you become part of real estate from investment to development? We school people and we look at also the impact affecting real estate in the country, like municipal services, you know, the law that is governing the real estate, you know, like financing, construction and all of that. But if people need more information, like I said, you know, you can always bring me back or they can watch our show, which is Let's Talk Property with Lux.
Yeah, most definitely. Most definitely. You're a friend of our show now. So we'll invite you back. We are claiming you. We'll invite you back. I want to know more also about Life Lisbeth in terms of what you guys do there. And just for our listeners to really know the various options that are available. But you spoke about a platform, a way you give these sessions. Let us in on how people can get hold of you promptly so that we can say our goodbyes. Time is up.
Okay, so you can go to your Google, type Life Elizabeth Properties, LifeElizabeth. Will come out automatically. So a real estate company, I'm the principal agent. We do rental, we do sales, we do rental asset management, and we also do body corporate management. So we manage a few schemes. So we, like any other traditional real estate company, it's just that we have more services that we are offering. You go to Facebook, type Life Elizabeth Properties. You'll find us there, Twitter, and also on Instagram. We are there. You can find us there. Obviously, our details are there, email or contact our office. You can always find us there. But over and above that, this year we are giving opportunities to intern agents. People want to be intern agents. We have an appetite for you guys this year. We're willing to train people. We are also introducing our franchise this year. We're launching our franchise.
We'll touch base. We'll invite you back so we can just thresh all of these things out. But thank you very much for honoring the invite and for always being keen to engage with us. You didn't give us that much of a challenge, but we really appreciate you coming through.
Thank you very much.
Awesome. Mulefe Titus is, of course, the director of Life Elizabeth Property. And he came through to just throw forward to the Reserve Bank governor's announcement that will be coming through later on in the day. Mulefe Titus Mwate.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.